League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from Kobo's Q in Edo, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back down into Kobo's in Edo. 2012 Rust, we're right near PNC Stadium. A big thank you for everybody hanging out here. We got buckets of beer everywhere. We got Soccer Matters t-shirts to give away. We got Lionel Messi in here in an Argentina jersey. I do want to remind people, because Victor reminded me in the break, Pat Onstad was going to be on the show here tonight. Something came up. He had to leave town, but he had committed to coming on the show, and he will come on at another time. So a big thanks to Pat Onstad. Again, tomorrow, here's the lineup for everybody. At 4 a.m., if you're one of the brave, there will be Argentines in Houston getting up early. We would not mind Lionel Messi winning the World Cup. Hey, by the way, if you're out there and you got thoughts on the U.S. today, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, what stood out to you? England fan, U.S. fan, you happy with the draw here today? What do you think about the U.S. chances? Mexico fan, how are you feeling ahead of Poland tomorrow, which is at 10 a.m. right here at Cobos? Raul is going to be opening up at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Okay, so let's get some phone calls rolling in on this as well, because we want your participation in this as well. All right, I want to bring in, I think it's soundbite number three, Andrew, Greg Berhalter. Let's run that.
Give us 1 second, Glenn.
Okay, we're going to get Greg Berhalter some sound, the U.S. manager after the 1-1 draw today against Wales. In a second here, we got a lot of good sound here, and Greg Berhalter on how they felt and dealt with the challenge that Wales gave them in the second half. Here's something along the lines of tactics.
What I'd say is Wales went very direct in the second half, and they got a big team, and they made it difficult. So I think we managed a lot of our pressure well, but when they hit long balls and play for second balls, it becomes difficult.
Okay, so, yeah, I get that, but I'm going to stick with what I said. The U.S. never was able to regain control of this game. There's more from Berhalter on what changed in the second half. He's already told you they went more direct. Let's see if he adds to that.
I think we lost a little bit of power, but in the same sense, Wales stepped up their pressure, and we had some good counterattacking opportunities, but I thought the guys dealt with it well. We kept going to the end. It was a hard-fought game. We left everything out there.
713-780-3776 for your take. Here is Tim Weah on the difference between the two halves. This is soundbite number six.
Felt like in the first half we had a lot of energy, a lot of momentum. We had most of the possession. And then coming into the second half, I feel like we kind of dialed down, and Wales turned it up a notch. They started pressing us. They had most of the ball. And I think at the end, that's what really hurt us. And we just have to be better in both halves. And we have to come out there stronger. Wales is playing a five at the back, which is very difficult. So, they did a great job, holding us.
Yeah, think about that in the first half. They got a line of five at the back. If that doesn't tell you what their tactics and intentions are, I don't really know what does. I want to get Tyler Adams in here as well. This is soundbite number eight. It's, again, remember, the first time the U.S. is back in the World Cup since 2014. It was a long absence, missing that last World Cup. Here's Tyler Adams, soundbite number eight. For me, he was the man of the match.
I'm very proud of the team with the start that we had. We played with a bunch of confidence today, and for a large part of the game, we dominated the game. So for a lot of us, being our first World Cup, you could see an ambitious group, fearless group, and we came after it. But it comes down to the smallest details in the games like this, and yeah, a PK in the end, but we have to keep our heads held high. We go away with a point, and we have to focus on the next game now.
All right, Victor Ariza, the striker. I'm a big fan of Tyler Adams. This kid is young. This kid is playing every day in the Premier League for Leeds. He is mature beyond his years. He wore the captain's armband. Some thoughts on Tyler Adams.
I mean, everything you just said, right? And I think, I think what he said, he has a point. I mean, for a lot of these guys, being their first World Cup, I think that has a lot to play in how the result went. And I think, we've seen them in their clubs be a little bit more frontal, right? Be a little bit more dangerous. Have a little bit more maybe personality. Not all of them. I think Adams was one that stood out, right? That, the switch kind of stayed the same, but I think for other players, you could see a little bit of a difference in the stage and being here for the first time. So that's why, going up against England, having one game under their belt, I'm kind of eager to see where, how they play. But I think this game, just getting the first one out of the way, that has a lot to play in it. And maybe we're saying they're lucky that they didn't lose this game. But I do think there are some positives to take overall.
All right, Victor Ariza, the striker. Kazi Kader with the Manchester United supporters group here in Houston. Okay, which young player did you like? And by the way, you don't have to agree with me. My man of the match was Tyler Adams. Who was yours?
I think I'll go with Tyler Adams as well. Only because you see him putting in a shift every week for Leeds. And he's playing in the most intense league in the world, I feel like. And he understands the importance of, just a little bit is all it takes. Like, a few moments here and there, if you're not focused, obviously you're going to get punished. But, again, what he said, that the goal was a penalty. So they did not get scored on from open play. So, I mean, that can, something like that, you might think that it's not really a big deal, but it can play a huge part on the team's psyche going in. That, hey, you know what, at least we forced them to take a spot kick to score on us rather than, they didn't break us down from open play.
All right, let's go more with Adams here. Soundbite number 9, how he feels the team dealt with the uncomfortable situation, which I think is just parlaying off you, Kazi. So here's Tyler Adams.
We had to adapt in certain situations during this game. Obviously, after the goal, they gained a little bit of momentum, and we had to deal with that. They were throwing balls in the box. But in the end, we dealt with it well. We created a match plan. We were disciplined in the match plan, and we followed it. Obviously, we couldn't execute and get another goal in the end, but we kept level-headed, and we took a point out of it, so that's good.
I'm going back to my 2 points. You get your second goal in the first half during your best of times, and in the second half, you have to wrestle back some sort of control of this game. They weren't able to do it. That said, they had a great battling spirit. I don't think it was anything about intensity.
Right.
I just think it was really about maybe some better decisions and maybe more from your bench and your substitutes, because we forget this is the first World Cup where you're allowed 5 substitutes. The last one you only were allowed 3. All right. Senegal and the Netherlands. Any observations for you, Victor? It was the African champions against the Dutch. The Dutch have been to 3 World Cup finals in their history, the greatest soccer nation to never win the World Cup. There are questions around Louis van Gaal's team, but they get 2 late goals to beat Senegal, who is without Sadio Mane.
Yeah, I think it's a tough blow for Senegal, right, because they were in it, right? It looked like it was going to be a point.
Very even game, right?
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a point up until the end when obviously the Netherlands, took it away there. But, so I think for Senegal, it just gets a little bit more complicated, going forward with the 2 games they have, especially the one with Ecuador, which I think, especially Ecuador having 3 points in hand, maybe that makes it a little bit more difficult. And I think, I don't know, maybe we all expect the Netherlands to win the group. But once more, just in the World Cup, by any means necessary, you find a way to get 3 points, walk away with it. And kind of move on to the next game. The Netherlands did that, and that's why they're one of the best nations, and by some, maybe even a dark horse to go on through in this tournament.
And the other thing we say about this is, listen, you get a draw in the first game. You are not out of this at all. And I know it was a bit of a disappointing blow to people, but you are not out of it. The next game against England becomes even bigger. and we see what happens. You can advance in a lot of different ways. A lot of things are going to change.
And Wales
the
has
game.
To face England too,
of course. So a lot can go on. Let's go to the 85th minute here. Let's get Cody Gakpo plays for PSV. This is like one of the guys that could be a shining star that a lot of people don't know about. This is an incredible ball from De Jong. It's hit in an area that teases the goalkeeper out. He flashes in front of him and with his back to him, heads it in. He goes with his back to him to kind of protect himself. But this young player scores a huge goal and ends up being the game winner for the Netherlands.
Frankie de Jong, and there is the moment for the Netherlands, Cody Gakpo. The Dutch breakthrough at last.
So, you know, delivery is so important. And when you see the ball de Jong hits, I don't think enough people made it enough about the quality of that ball, but the area that it hit, because it put basically Kazia, goalkeeper, in two minds.
Right, exactly. And again, positioning like that, getting in the right spots, getting in the right places, definitely makes or breaks a game. Gakpo has been the talk of this season, I feel like. Even in Europe, just everyone's been taking notice of what he's been doing for PSV. There was a time when him and Haaland were like on par in the first couple of weeks, or I think the first couple of months. And there was a lot of comparison, obviously, drawn because, you know, people love comparing players to players. But, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was not surprised that he was the one who got the breakthrough. And I think come summer, there's going to be a lot of big teams interested in seeing if they can acquire him.
Yeah, the value of these players, it's remarkable, will go up. You know, you're in the shop window in this
right.
thing. There's going to be guys that are bought and sold for ridiculous amounts of money after this is over. And tomorrow's
just
our first
based off of one moment.
Based off of one moment. It's true. It is really true. People's lives change based on one play. And tomorrow's our first day where we actually have four straight games. Okay, let's go to stoppage time. The Netherlands will pick up a second here, and this just makes this an even more important win because they pick up the second goal. It's Davy Klaassen.
And here's Memphis Depay, and pushed down, and Klaassen's there, and that will be the clincher. Davy Klaassen to make it two for the Netherlands.
Memphis Depay came on in the second half for Janssen, and he took the shot. It was parried away, and Klaassen got there to knock in the second one. So that's how it ends. Netherlands 2-0 over Senegal. Senegal's got a lot of work to do in the second game. They have to feel pretty hard done because that was a pretty even game. They had some chances
right.
themselves, Victor.
And again, like that goal was a little bit late, but it just puts it out of question, right?
Right?
And it
right.
just kind of, you know, even if you're thinking, you know, late game's heroics, 1-1. And again, that's something the U.S. lacked, just getting that second goal,
right.
putting it away, putting it out of reach.
Yeah, some data from that, just to let you know here. That was a really, to me, that seemed an even game up to the point of the two goals. 53% of the possession, a little bit more to the Dutch. Senegal had 15 shots, 4 on goal. The Netherlands had 10 shots, 3 on goal, 2 of them go in. Okay, so, you know, for all of you that love the data and all that, but that was a... you know, that was a pretty tight game. Van Dijk and Ake had a lot of the ball at the back for the Netherlands' delight.
Somebody who bet on that game might have been cussing at the TV.
Oh, absolutely. I had friends who bet on that game, and they were cussing at the TV.
Throw it out the window. They were picking Senegal over the Netherlands?
Yeah, they
picked
Senegal.
Even without Sadio Mane?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, they did. Okay. Only because, like... You have
well, they're the African champions.
Well,
I mean,
well, you have Sar, who's also playing for them. Sar actually played really well in the last
Koulibaly,
year.
Mendy, yeah. Cisse, you got all kinds
of
big names.
Lots of great.
They had an incredible African Cup of Nations under their coach Cisse, and you know, obviously Sadio Mane is their talisman. But
you could tell that they felt the absence of Sané. I mean,
you know
of
when
Mane.
They missed him.
I'm sorry.
This is a great point you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
They missed him in transition.
Absolutely.
They missed him in great moments where they were breaking out against the Dutch. They had space on either flank. And, you know, he's your executor. He's your executioner. He's going to finish these plays off. All right. Victor Ariza, striker. Kazi Kadar, gentlemen, a big, big thank you. I may pull you back up here tonight because You guys are going to advance to the second round, I think.
Well, all right. Thank you.
Victor Ariza, the striker, Kazi Kader, Houston Red Army and Houston Supporters Group. Gentlemen, appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kazi. Thanks, Victor. Take a break here. Before we go to break, just remind you of a couple of things here. Little Patagonia is in the Galleria, 5393. Mouth-watering empanadas. You hear that, Victor? Empanadas? I got it right. Packed with beef, lamb, chicken, pork, venison. If you have a sweet tooth, they've got guava, strawberry, Nutella. They do have a TV in there. You can watch games there. So many choices. Little Patagonia, empanadas, and cafe. A wonderful Argentine vibe. Coffee, espresso. I love everything Argentina, by the way. Our big friend Sebastian. Order, pick them up, take them home, freeze them. That's what I did. I had three today in between games. Take them to your office. You'll be loved. You can do DoorDash, Uber Eats. You go get a bunch. You put them in the freezer. You got them. You warm the oven up. 12 minutes in the oven at 450. Little Patagonia. We're going to take a break here. All of this brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And a big, big thank you to Kobos. So if you're out and about on the town, come and join us. We've got a nice crew in here. We're doing live radio. It's 2012 Rust Street. We started it off in a big way with John Granato for two segments. And we will welcome you back and continue the World Cup discussion.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Live from Kobo's Q in Edo, here's Glenn Davis.
Sterling wide, Shaw with the early ball. And Bellingham scores for England. The teenager delivers his first England goal on the biggest stage of all.
That's a man whose value, Jude Bellingham, is going to rise in a very, very big way. Welcome back to Kobos in Edo. We're at 2012 Rust Street, right near PNC Stadium. Great crowd of people in here, a lot of buckets of beer. We've got T-shirts for everybody, Soccer Matters, in a lot of different colors. If you're out and about, come in now. There's still time. Get in here and also get in here tomorrow morning. Doors are going to open at 9 o'clock. For Raul, getting ready for the Mexico-Poland game tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is a big one. The U.S. got their game behind them today, a 1-1 draw with Wales. And another of the most important matches when it comes to the makeup of Houston is the Mexican national team,
yes, sir.
L3, and we're going to talk a little bit about them. I just want to tell you a little bit more about Kobos and Edo. Great sponsors of Soccer Matters. Like I said, right down here on 2012 Rusk, right near PNC Stadium. Raul Jacobo is the owner, started with a food truck, has these great smoked quesadillas, birria tacos, beautiful space down here. This is the place to watch World Cup 2022. Get in here. Food and drink, it's here. The best in smoked barbecue quesadillas, birria quesadillas, smoked pork belly, cocktails, large beer selection. They're always running specials down here. Get in and watch. 14 crystal clear monitors. You're not going to be in a place where you don't see a monitor, no matter how packed this place gets, okay? So get in here. It is Kobos in Edo, and I always mention, and I'll do this again, I'll soapbox for a quick second here, support the sponsors that support your game. It's as simple as that.
Yes, sir.
Support the people that support your game and get soccer on the radio. So I'm going to bring in Raul right now. Raul, how was the day down here with the U.S.-Wales game? Just give us a little insight and tell us about your place and how it came about.
Glenn, I'm going to tell you what, like the greatest spot of my day today was that my dad came by.
Beautiful.
He came by and like to, it was weird. Like I went over there and obviously I have to walk around. I have to, mingle and whatnot. But whenever I went over there and I hugged him and I told him, I said, hey, man, I'm just so happy you're here. The U.S. scored. And
oh,
I was like,
right?
You know,
you were hugging
like,
him when they scored.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Like legit. And it was just so awesome, man. And so, man, we're just so grateful. You know what I mean? We're just so grateful. And Yeah, man. Like,
you got a great following. What do you want to tell a soccer fan out there? Not you know, just the overall soccer fan. And what do you want to tell a FIFA World Cup fan?
So I'm going to say this. My dad played for Mexico in the 60s. The first sport I ever played was soccer for 2 years straight. We won MVP, everything else, man. And I just, man, this is our culture, man. Like, I feel like this is a large, you know, soccer community. I mean, but we just got to bring it out, you know, and we just have to, you know what I mean? Like, just come in numbers and make it happen. And so, man, I just hope Cobos is one of those, you know, spots, you know, to make it happen.
Yeah, you have a great following. I notice it. It's a very good following. I am urging soccer fans, give Cobos a try. I mean, you will come back. Great food, great drink. Smoke quesadillas. I just broke my rules here. I was eating them while I was on the air, which is normally something I never. What did he say?
I don't know.
What about?
I'm about to kick him out.
Chucky Lozano.
I'm about to kick him out.
He's shouting about Chucky Lozano. Okay, Chucky better have a big game tomorrow. I think.
I don't know. Is he?
I hope he does. We're going to talk Mexico and Poland. By the way, what do you got in store for everybody tomorrow morning?
So we open it up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and our cooks are going to be doing some Mexicano breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Some chorizo con huevo, some chuletas, everything.
Chuletas.
Here we go, man. Yeah, we're going to go through with it. I don't know. Maybe some morisqueta. If y'all know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
I think a few people know what you're talking about. It's a big day tomorrow. I love this.
All right, sir.
So let me bring in also Rodrigo de Luna, and let's give a round of applause for Raul Jacobo. Not only for, you know, sponsoring our radio show, but also for being a Houston guy who's brought it downtown from a food truck. It's a great dream. He's brought it together just like a guy dreaming to play in a World Cup. So it's no different. This is a Houston story right here. Thank you, Raul.
Thank you.
So we appreciate that. All right, another Houston story. This is a guy that's been involved in a lot of the sport and a lot of the pro games that have come through Houston. Big sponsor when he was at Fiesta, Rodrigo de Luna. Rodrigo, welcome to the show. Put a smile on your face.
How you doing, man?
A happy crowd down here. We want you happy.
It's a good crowd. It's a good crowd.
It is a good crowd. All right, give me some initial thoughts on Mexico-Poland tomorrow.
You know, Poland is a great squad. It's full of some great players that are playing.
Great squad?
I think so. I think I like the way they play. I've always liked Eastern European countries. I'll always support Mexico because that's, you know, I'm Mexican and I grew up playing soccer in Mexico and loving soccer. But, you know, I'm also a realist. I don't see a lot in this team. I think Tata Martino's gotten it wrong in some aspects.
Selection?
Yes. Yes, there's some players.
Take us into it.
Well, you know, you have a great player like Santiago Jimenez, who's playing for Feyenoord, who came from Cruz Azul, who made him champions. And yes, he doesn't start, but every time he goes in, he scores goals, we assist, so he's playing well. And Tata left him off for Funes Mori, who's been a disaster. He's the only the Monterrey players are good, except for him.
He's in the playoffs. He's a naturalized Mexican too.
Yes. See, and if you saw the playoffs, Monterrey needed him, and he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. You know, so I question that. I question Memo Ochoa being a starter again. When you have Rodolfo Cota, who's a good, you know, who's a
Raul Jacobo. I 100%
agree with that.
With Rodrigo. Jump in.
I 100% agree with that. Like, there's no way Memo should have been a starter for this. Like, there's just no way. I'm sorry.
Henry Martin, I mean, he's good, but I don't know. I have my doubts.
Who's the other option out of Henry Martin other than?
You know, also, I have to question Raul Jimenez. He hasn't been playing. He's been hurt. You know, and Gerardo Martino said, the reason I haven't played, I didn't call Jimenez because he hadn't started. Well, you know, here we go.
Yeah, start him.
Here we go. You know, Jimenez has been hurt. You know, he hasn't played much.
I don't think he's ever recovered from the head injury with Wolves.
Well, he got hurt two more times, so how do you start him?
But that tells, I think psychologically there's something deeper.
You know, and I understand that, so why do you put him in the World Cup squad? And you leave a kid who's doing well at Feyenoord, who's, yeah, he's not starting, but he's scoring goals and he's creating assists.
But his teammate, including Jimenez, is that show maybe some desperation is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know
what it is. This whole fast-tracking guys that have, you know, serious injuries that are really, really long shots to me is almost like It's almost desperation.
Here's a funny thing I read today. Sebastian Sinerowski, who's Jimenez's teammate at Feyenoord, questions that. He goes, I was expecting to see Santiago there. He's a great player. He's fast. He's scoring goals for us. He says, I'm disappointed he's not there. And this is his Polish teammate that, you know, he's looking forward to playing with him. You know? This, again, this is something that you question. The problem with Mexico is it goes deeper than that. It's a corrupt system.
It's a lot of politics, man. Carlos Vega, that's all I got to say.
It goes with the president of the federation, who shouldn't be there, who I think is inept. The president of the Mexican League also is inept, and they're all corrupt. They're worried more about the commercial aspects than they are the footballing aspects. It's something that Mexico will now start paying for, because there is no 1990s style players anymore that went out focused and could face Holland and Germany and Italy and play them two for two. I don't see that happening these days.
All right, so let's get back to modern day tomorrow. Mexico, Poland, but I hear what you're saying, because that is a part of the story. This is Group C. Mexico, Poland tomorrow, Argentina, Saudi Arabia. Group C gets underway. So back to the main question around Mexico, who scores goals? Alexis Vega, a lot of people, that's coming off their tongues very, very quickly. Who really is going to score goals? This team, to me, with an injured Tecatito, does not look like a team that scares me at all.
No, because Tecatito, he provides a lot of depth in the wings, because he's very versatile. The way he plays at Porto and the way he's played for Mexico in the past, they're going to miss that. A lot of the pressure is going to fall on the shoulders of Irving Lozano, because he's playing for Napoli. Napoli is doing very well.
Chucky.
Yeah, they're playing very well in Serie A. They're doing very well in Champions League. So a lot of pressure, you know, he's not a striker. He's a midfielder, but he's a goal-scoring midfielder.
That's
so
too much of a burden for him to carry. And by the way, with everybody injured, he's a target. He's a target like Christian Pulisic was today.
But, you know, the thing about Irving Lozano, he's one of those kids that can turn a game. If he gets the space, he can start providing assists.
He doesn't score a lot of goals, though.
But he's a midfielder. He's a scoring midfielder. He's a midfielder. He's not a striker, but he's one of those midfielders that can score goals and can drag defenses when he's Valdo. Now, if Tata plays him out of position, which he's done in the past, we've played him out of his position, we can't get up there and provide assists. Yeah, it's going to be tough, because I don't see anyone doing that.
All right, so I want to play devil's advocate now. And Raul, you weigh in on this too. A lot of times, teams morph into different things in a World Cup simply because of the occasion. It's a short tournament. Do you see that type of character in this team? And do you think Tata Martino really has a grip on the team culture of El Tri?
It is a World Cup. These guys can shut my mouth up.
Sure.
There's always
they have the opportunity.
Yeah, it's a World Cup. It's a different aspect.
I'm going to send them a newspaper quickly. Rodrigo de Luna says you're not going to do anything in Group C, and let's see if we can motivate.
But I think Tata Martino walked into a mud pit. He walked into a snake pit full of politics and selfish agendas.
Rats.
And economic.
I agree.
Interests. Right, but still, I kind of also blame him a little bit, because he could. The thing is, he's done. He's coached Barcelona. He's taken Argentina to some finals. He won an MLS title.
But look. Let me go back to Ochoa, because Raul brings up something important here. Do you think the federation picks his team also and says, Tata, you have to take Ochoa? He needs to play. Do you think that happens because of sponsors?
It's not just the federation. It's the sponsors of the Mexican national team, the investors. It's also the media.
Well, if they're a sponsor of Mexico, they're also the Mexican Federation.
And also the media. The media in Mexico has a lot of power, because there's money behind them, and they serve hidden masters. And this is nothing secret. This is nothing new, I'm saying. Mexican public knows that, you know. And a lot of people say, why is Ochoa still playing? Club America, he hadn't done that well. He's eaten more goals than...
You know, 6 years ago, you were telling me the same thing. Two World Cups ago, you were telling me the same thing. Why can't this ever change?
It's interesting because this
we all know
such a great soccer playing nation. Why can't this change?
We all know why it hasn't changed. Because and you can't talk about it.
There's economic interest.
Commercial interest.
There's economic interest. There's all kinds of political agendas behind it. You know, the people who run the league and run the national team, Televisa, who runs the national team as well as Club America, they're also a political entity. So there's politics and agendas behind it. Mexico generates a ton of money because they're the only national team in the world that's got two homes. Club America, Cruz Azul, Tigres, Rayados, Chivas have two homes because of the quantity of Mexicans that are here in the United States. Mexicans, they consume, they buy. There's a lot of purchasing power here in the United States that the Mexican community provides because we are spenders.
Which, might I add, my father played for UNAM in the 60s.
UNAM Pumas. I played against him twice.
Yes, sir. He was here earlier.
Manuel Negrete and Luis Flores.
He was here. And I was like, Glenn's going to be here. But, you know, you showed
up. I would like to meet him. Cobo Zanito, that's where we are. Raul Jacobo and also Rodrigo De Luna joining us in this segment. They're our newest sponsors. PNC Stadium, Minute Maid Park is right nearby. Cobo's is owned by Raul. Great open space, clean as a whistle. Food, drink. Tomorrow they're going to open 9 a.m. for Mexico, Poland. It's going to be a great day down here. Lots of specials, 14 monitors. You got a great vocal crowd here. There's going to be a lot of green in here tomorrow. By the way, there's a lot of green Soccer Matters t-shirts there that will go very good with the Mexican national team tomorrow that if you're out and about and driving around, pull in here. We'll outfit you in one. So it's Cobo Zanito. A big thank you to Raul Jacobo. Let's do a round of applause for everybody hanging out tonight here. This is great fun. Cobo Zanito, get down here. We are doing World Cup Soccer Talk presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, big thanks to our engineer, Brian, out here tonight. Let's give him a round of applause. We appreciate him. And he's also a producer over at ESPN 97.5 extraordinaire, just like Andrew Carlson back in studio. We are at Cobo's in Edo. This is a great place to watch the World Cup in 2022, this 2022 World Cup. Food and drink, smoked barbecue quesadillas, birria quesadillas, smoked pork belly, cocktails, large beer selection. There's always specials. Opening at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning for Mexico and Poland. Another spot out on I-10, different area of town, is Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Get out there. They got a great whiskey offering, great beer offering. David's out there. We've done two live shows at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, which is out on I-10, and we really appreciate the great hospitality they showed us. They've got all the traditional English food, the bangers and mash, the shepherd's pie, all of that. I think Guillermo, who's joining me now for a bit here, had one of the shepherd's pies out there at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. So it's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Right now we're in Cobo's and Edo as we welcome you back. Guillermo joins me now as well. So Guillermo, he does a lot of the great work on Soccer Matters, a lot of the videos, and posts a lot of the things, Twitter, at Glenn Davis Sox, Soccer Matters GD, Instagram, and all that. So number one, we thank you for that. And number two, just your overall thoughts on the World Cup so far. We're only a short time into it.
Okay. Well, first things first, if you are listening right now, go on your phone, follow that Soccer Matters Instagram, follow that Soccer Matters Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok as well, Soccer Matters. We're on there. So go ahead and follow. Now, going back to your question, Glenn, World Cup feels weird. It still really does. First game, 3 minutes, already you know, a call that can be iffy, can go either way. My opinion.
Oh, in the England Qatar game. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so
the VAR.
It's already several things that are going on. You know, the whole weather outside situation. You know, we're hosting all these live events in these bars. People are walking around with jackets. You can see their breath coming out. It just doesn't look normal. But here
you're
we
talking
are.
About the watch parties here.
I'm talking about the watch parties here in Houston.
Rainy day today, but we're going to get some better weather. By the way, Mexico and Poland right here at Cobos in the morning, 4 a.m. for the Brave at Saudi Arabia and Leo Messi in Argentina. We got everybody wants Messi to win a World Cup, don't they?
Yeah, including myself. Yeah. I am going to be getting
you
up for that
you
game.
You want Leo Messi?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I want you and Rodrigo, I want you to give your take to Rodrigo, and I want you to give me the Cliff Notes version, the quicker version of how you think Mexico can win so Rodrigo hears this and our listeners as well.
All right, perfect. So first things first, small shameless plug. I'm not going to be talking about the entire my opinion about Mexico. You can go ahead and check that out on my YouTube channel, at A Day in Football. That video is in Spanish, worth mentioning. All right, going back to your question.
Nice stuff.
If I'm looking directly at this Mexico roster, there's a lot of things wrong with it. You know, Rodrigo, you mentioned earlier how Rogelio Funes Mori should not be on there. I'm a Rayados fan myself. I literally have a Rogelio Funes Mori Mexico jersey hanging in my closet right now. But he has no business in being in this World Cup. You know, you mentioned Santi Jimenez earlier, and everything you mentioned is correct. You know, Tata Martino actually said in an interview earlier how form, you know, is important as well as competing in European leagues. Yet he calls somebody like Rogelio Funes Mori over Santi Jimenez, which is baffling considering, you know, the characteristics that Santi Jimenez can provide for this World Cup roster, like, for example.
Has he said why he made that choice, and or what do you think the reason is? And this is for both of you, starting with you, Guillermo.
Yeah, so I haven't seen anything about why he did not choose.
But if this is that big of an issue, didn't the Mexican press ask Martino why he didn't include him? And what was his response?
In fact, they're throwing stones at him over it. They're asking the same questions. Why did you leave Santi Jimenez out? His response was, well, Jimenez and Linus came to the camp knowing they weren't going to get picked. That's all he said.
Well, that's not an answer.
No, it's not. That's all he said.
That's a fact. That's not an answer.
And, you know, Monterrey, being a Real fan, yo soy de Cruz Azul, they've got the most players on the team, and they're good. They're all good. And I have to write them down because I forget. Héctor Moreno, Jesús Gallardo, César Montes, right? Those are great players, right? And they've done good for Monterrey. Luis Romo are very good. The only one, Andre, I question, why does he have Funes Mori? He has not been playing well. And Monterrey in the playoffs, he should have stepped up, and he didn't. And exactly. They didn't make it past the first round. And, yeah, he's nationalized. And Mexico's had nationalized players before. You had Cigna, who
pretty much
fantastic.
Every country does now.
Fantastic. And you had Guille Franco. But those guys played fantastic for the national team.
Yeah, Guille Franco, I forgot about him.
Yeah, played for Monterrey.
Yeah,
right. I met Guille Franco when we worked in Monterrey back in the Interliga days. And you were there, mm-hmm. Right? But these are questions you ask. Why? I understand Diego Linus. He's not been playing well. He's a letdown. He's bad decisions. But, you know, anything can happen tomorrow. You know, anything can happen tomorrow. Lewandowski... Yeah. You know, you got to be able to.
I'm questioning if Poland can supply him, honestly. I'm questioning if Poland can,
well, you know,
can provide enough support and enough delivery and enough get the ball to his feet in and around the penalty area. I'm
watching
them from wide areas.
Watching them in the World Cup qualifiers, impressed with the pace they had, and they played with some intelligence. You know, they held back when they need to, they controlled the game sometimes, and they were able to push the ball forward. Right? So it's that tactical sense that Poland has, which I'm impressed with.
Okay, I want a quick plug here, because all this World Cup coverage is being presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, the special World Cup coverage. Every day you're going to hear an update in all the shows on ESPN 97.5. So really, really excited about that. All the other hosts are getting involved in the show. We're really trying to make this something bigger. And by the way, your soccer station on the English language side in Houston is undeniably number one ESPN 975 Soccer Matters, but also all the other hosts are very into soccer, or a large portion of them, maybe not all of them, but they do respect the game, and that's a big thing. And when we get to a place like Cobos here in Edo, and you've got John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, and they're promoting your show, they're putting money behind it, I really want you to consider the sponsors you hear on this show. Places like the Daspit Law Firm, Advantage BMW in Midtown, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, Little Patagonia Empanadas, Lamont Brands, who does our T-shirts for the 501c charity. Go to lamontbrands.com and buy one of these T-shirts, and it all goes to the Snowdrop Foundation for Pediatric Cancer. Okay, so back to the World Cup. A couple of things here. Brazil is trying to be, has not won a World Cup since 2002. A couple of things here. Think of these big teams that are missing, Italy, Nigeria, Colombia. Think of 8 billion people in the world, 4 to 5 billion will watch the World Cup. That in itself tells you the most dominant sport in the world is the sport of football. We call it soccer in the United States. Belgium and Spain, do you think they can make noise? Starting with you, Guillermo.
So Belgium and Spain are both, you know, those are interesting teams to talk about, right? Because they both have strong suits, but they also lack in some areas. For example, Belgium, you know, world-class midfielders, you know, great attackers. But
Kevin De Bruyne.
Exactly. Lacking, like, defensive quality. Yeah, they have one of the great, best goalkeepers in the world, you know, in Courtois. But they do lack some in the defense against Spain. Great midfield, good defense, but lacking a little bit on the attack. So these two teams, I do think that, for sure they'll get out of the group stages. But I don't think they'll make it as far because they do lack certain things that other teams do have.
Rodrigo?
I disagree with you with Spain because I like the work that Luis Enrique is doing. He's got some good youth players. A lot of them are Barca players. And he's a good tactician. He's smart. You know, and you know, he puts his personality in his team the way Cholo did with Atletico Madrid. Have you seen how intense he is and how he pushes his players, and you see how they react, and they're very well adapted to playing any style and against any team. So I'm not saying they're going to win the World Cup, but I think Spain will do interesting things, and these young players will be something to watch in the coming future. Ansu Fati, Pedri, Araujo, and some of the players, the young bosses.
A lot of good youth you're mentioning there.
I don't think
there's any question.
And Luis Enrique knows how to inspire those players. I'm impressed with Luis Enrique, what he's done so far.
You got Group D getting underway tomorrow. France, Australia, Denmark, Tunisia. France expected to be the favorite, but you think of the players that are missing. N'Golo Kanté, Paul Pogba, who I'm not as concerned about him. N'Golo Kanté is more of a key. Pogba, to me, has lost his focus. Benzema goes out with the injury. Rafael Varane is coming back from injury. Any thoughts on their possibility, really quick to both of you, starting with you, Guillermo, on France going back-to-back winning World Cups?
You know, you talk about France and, like, all these injuries, but the thing is, you still look at the roster, and they're still fine. You know, you also want to mention the World Cup curse, because that is real, and it's happened time and time again, but you want to look at their group stage, and realistically, how are they not going to get out of the group stage? You know, and a couple of players to be looking out for in France. Arsenal defender, Saliba, Camavinga as well. Watch out for them in France.
Okay, real quick, Rodrigo, and then we got to go.
You know, if there's any other coach except Deschamps, the coach here, I mean, he can adjust. He can adjust it and make the right choices. I think he's a good tactician. I think you still get a lot of this French team. I hope they don't win it, but I think you'll still get a lot of this team.
Third cycle for him, by the way. Third cycle for him.
Here's a guy that brought Juventus back from the dead, from second division.
Rodrigo De Luna, Guillermo Lazo, thank you very much, both of you guys, for coming on tonight. It's been a great night down here at Cobos. We're going to wrap it up here. Appreciate everybody out here. We appreciate Raul Jacobo, the owner. Thank you, Raul. Thank you, Raul. And we're having so much fun here. I have a feeling the fun may not end. Remember, Cobos tomorrow morning opens at 9 a.m. Central Time. Mexico, Poland up at 10. You want to be here. It's going to be a lot of fun. Raul is the best of hosts. That'll do it tonight for Brian here at Cobos. For Andrew back in studio, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 92.5. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.